Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway. On Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is Comment, which is the big conversation, which is the great debate. But it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 44208601455. Or you can SMS the show on 44780008066. Or you can email us at comment@presstv.co.uk. Well, we're still, for the moment, on the Sky platform, so make the most of it, because I assure you, these are the final days. Thereafter, you'll have to watch us by other means, either by uploading, downloading, who knows, it's all techno-speak to me, the Press TV app, which is definitely the best way to watch us. Or you can watch us on the internet on www.presstv.ir. Or you can invest in one of the other satellites that are carrying our programmes. And to check them out, go to the website, presstv.ir. But we will be discussing Ofcom and its disastrous, disgraceful conduct in relation to Press TV. So if you're watching, Mr. Ofcom, and I know that you are, be prepared for a bit of a hiding. Lawrence is a name of some importance in British history. Lawrence of Arabia was, of course, a very, very famous figure, and the man who wrote an epic work about pillars of wisdom. But he didn't show any more wisdom or grace or dignity than the parents of the late Stephen Lawrence, a young black teenager who was cruelly murdered in a vicious, foul, racist murder in South London 18 years ago. His parents have been campaigning for justice for their son for 18 long years. And this week, a modicum of justice was secured after a series of disastrous police inquiries which were stained, poisoned by institutional racism, exposed in the McPherson inquiry set up in the wake of Stephen Lawrence's murder, and in the wake of a failed prosecution, a failed private prosecution. Finally, two of the five, maybe six, murderers of Stephen Lawrence have been found guilty by a jury of their peers and have been sentenced to 15 and 14 years. The Attorney General of Britain announced today that he's reviewing those sentences to see if they were not inadequate, and we'll keep you briefed about that. But the parents of Stephen Lawrence have said all along that racism was the dark cloud hanging over the United Kingdom, and no one could dispute it, especially these days. In just the last few weeks, there have been high-profile scandals involving top footballers, one of them, the England captain John Terry, facing criminal prosecution for alleged offences, he denies them, under race relations law. The other, Luis Suarez, now banned for 8 games in the English Premiership as a result of an FA inquiry and finding that he had used 7 times an insulting racist term towards a black footballer in an opposing team. Between Suarez and John Terry case and the case of Stephen Lawrence, this dark cloud has darkened over these last days. However, a backlash was bound to come, and it did come today in the witch hunt, which was got up by some sections of the worst of the British media, and an outpouring of abuse from racists and others in Britain about a tweet, a humble tweet, by my friend for 25 years, the Member of Parliament for Hackney, Diane Abbott. All of these race questions are up for debate this evening if you want to phone, text or email. In Bahrain, of course, they're still gunning down and killing those protesting for democracy. This week, a lady, middle-aged lady, passed away as a result of injuries inflicted on her by the use of poison tear gas by the brute dictatorship of Bahrain and their Saudi-backed supporters, including our own country, of course, and the United States of America, which continues to give arms and political and diplomatic support to a brutal regime that is killing the people in its own country for the simple act of asking for one man, one woman, one vote. Well, as always, these are my own personal opinions. They're not the opinions of Press TV, still less are the opinions of any government. And if you have different opinions, your call, your SMS, your email is especially welcome. Let's start with the Stephen Lawrence case and the race issues in general that it raises with George in the United Kingdom. George, welcome to the show, my friend.
Yeah, hello, George. How are you?
Yes, very well. Good to hear from you. Thanks.
Yeah, fine. The Stephen Lawrence case. Yeah. I mean, those four guys, it shows how the racism is much best until now into institutions because the police didn't do their job properly.
No, they did not. The police have accepted that.
They could have picked those guys, and now we still have four because of their blunders. It shows exactly how racism, even if the politicians try to say, oh, we don't want racism, it's still in institutions. Even today, if someone reports a racism issue, you picked up the footballer, John Terry, nothing is being done. It's taking long, and they will come up with some excuses on that.
Well, no, he denies the charge, of course, and he has an appearance in court coming up in just a few weeks. We can't discuss that case, of course, because it's sub judice. But go on.
Yeah, so, and if you look at the sentences which these guys received, it's a joke. It doesn't show, it doesn't send the proper waves of those people who commit anything on racism. They should be sentenced so harsh. I'm sure the prosecution will come up with something very, very tangible if they are serious about rooting out racism in society.
Well, thanks for that, George. I appreciate that. I accept, of course, everything you say. Indeed, I said it myself, that the institutionalized racism of the British police, and not just in the Metropolitan Police area, was infamous and indeed still exists, especially down on the street at individual copper level. It's worth making the point, I think it's right to make the point, that the police did a good job in the end in bringing this prosecution, and they have said that they are after the remaining killers of Stephen Lawrence who remain at large. And I, for one, wish them all the best in that, because justice will not be wholly done for Stephen until all these killers who killed a young man just because he was black in the most vicious, horrific killing. And of course, there have been others. There's another one which is sub judice, but which the police said was a racially motivated murder of an Indian student elsewhere in England, in the north, in the Salford, Manchester area, over Christmas, where allegedly a person walked up to that young student and shot him dead in the head for no other reason than the colour of his skin. So racism is a very dark cloud over the United Kingdom, one of the very darkest, and it's worth discussing that here. George, thanks for the call. Let's talk to Lever up in Manchester on the subject of racism. Lever, welcome to the show.
Hello, George. It's a privilege to speak to you.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
As a UK citizen of Jewish descent, I want to radiate my peace, love and respect to you, Iran, Palestine and all human citizens.
Thank you, Lever. I appreciate that very much.
Right. I've observed in my life that the 1% are not racist towards each other. They just love money and power. But they conspire through media and sophisticated means to promote racism in all forms, to divide us, the 99%, with the divide and rule ethos. To be honest with you, George, I think what it is, I think the 1% are not that stupid to be racist towards each other. They don't slag each other off. They just look after each other. And all we do, I don't know whether it's a lack of intelligence, I don't know what it is, but why do we constantly, the 99%, fight each other?
Well, I think that's a great call, not just for the opening words that you spoke, but the political points that you made there are absolutely accurate. The 1% are probably not racist at all, but the 1% know that racism and other forms of division are very handy tools for dividing the 99%, the better to rule them. That's exactly the point that Diane Abbott was seeking to make in the tweet which became so infamous over the last 24, 36 hours. That's the very point that she was making. Most of the 99% are not racist, though they may harbour racial prejudices. Many people do. Many people carry them secretly. Others evince them from time to time. But many others amongst the 99% are easy prey to those in the 1% who wish to use racism or other forms of discrimination to divide and to rule. You ask, is it a question of intelligence or is it a question of education? I don't know. What I do know is that those of us who can see clearly have a responsibility to bristle with indignation wherever we find racism. And anti-Semitism, by the way, is just another form of racism, albeit one that led to mass murder on a historic scale in the 20th century and indeed in other centuries too. Racism must be combated by all right-thinking people. I think you've seen me do that here on this very show, and I promise you I'll continue to do it. Let's talk to Adam in London about Ofcom and Bahrain. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, George. I think I should always be listening to you wherever you are.
Thanks,
now,
Adam.
I've discarded the sky and I'm on the internet.
Excellent.
And I'm doing more research.
Excellent.
Hopefully one day I'll get a platform beside you and make my statement to the international community, the so-called international community.
I must say, you're a very articulate man, Adam. I always enjoy hearing you. Go ahead.
George, what is going on now? Bahrain, we see day in, day out, people are dying. The American hegemony, in consonance with the consolidation of the monarchy in Saudi Arabia, joined forces with the dictator in Bahrain, in alliance with the British Empire in Bahrain, brutalizing people, holding people to the will that they want to express, that this is what we want. We cannot allow 0.5% of the entire citizens, which is the Al Khalifa family, to tell us what to do. We want to express our will, our democratic will. One man, one vote. We want that one to make a country a peaceful one.
Well,
we saw what went
Adam,
on.
Adam, you're absolutely correct. Let's review it. This is a small country, and therefore the revolution in Bahrain is, as a proportion, the biggest revolution in all of the Arab world. Their demands are simple. One man, one woman, one vote for the government and the head of state. What right-thinking person could possibly oppose that? We have clouds, not just of poison tear gas, but of disinformation injected into that picture. Clouds of sectarianism, where the argument goes that because the clear majority of people living on the island are of the Shiite Muslim persuasion, that this somehow makes it a sectarian conflict. It doesn't. 99.5% of the people of Bahrain are not the Al Khalifa dictatorship. It goes without saying, all of them have an interest, whether they can yet see it or not, in the overthrow of that dictatorship, which controls and owns everything in Bahrain. Second, the British government, as was witnessed by the visit of the tyrant to Downing Street just in the last couple of weeks, is giving full political, diplomatic, and military and security support to the dictatorship in Bahrain, whilst waxing lyrical about other dictatorships, but only some other dictatorships, elsewhere in the Middle East. The American government is not just backing this dictatorship. Its entire Fifth Fleet is based on the island of Bahrain. Now, you might well ask why they're doing all this. And the answer is the one that you yourself identified. Saudi Arabia will not be long in existence as a tyranny, as a dictatorship itself, if Bahrain becomes free. The reason that the British and the Americans have drawn a line in the sand in defense of the dictatorship in Bahrain is because they know that the overthrow of the Bahraini tyrants will hasten the end of the Saudi Arabian tyrants, to whom they sell uncountable amounts of weaponry, whose wealth from petrodollars they bank in their banks, put in their stock exchanges, have spent in their bordellos and their casinos, and in their arms bazaars. That's the big enchilada, Adam, and I thank you for bringing it to our attention once again. Let's go to Wales, talk to Ibrahim about Ofcom. Ibrahim, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, George. It's Brian. My accent gives some trouble.
I beg your pardon, Brian. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you just, I was reading, that Ofcom had reversed the decision. So
no.
I was thinking the problem is over. I've won the
no.
fine.
Which no, no, they haven't reversed it. These are the last days of Press TV on the Sky platform.
Very sad. I thought that we could, because I really enjoy Press TV and your show,
Thanks, Brian.
Obviously, I will keep watching it, whatever way, but...
It's obviously more convenient.
I don't know if it's on FreeSat, because a lot of the things you can get on FreeSat, but...
I don't think so, no. I gave you the satellite names. I'll do it again later, that you can find us on.
Anyway, I was hoping that they reversed it because of the amount of complaints, but, I also want to make a comment about Stephen Lawrence.
Yes.
The problem there... The politicians won't address or admit is that we do not have an independent means of investigating mistakes by the police.
Well, we have the IPCC.
Hundreds of people get killed, die in police custody. We know what happened to Charlton Menzies and other Ian Tomlinson and others. And every time there's a so-called independent investigation, no one is found to be at fault. No one is prosecuted. I mean, Kennedy said in one of his famous speech that a mistake only becomes an error when you cover it up, when you don't investigate it. And this is the culture of, well, we've got to protect ourselves, or we've got to protect the good name, or, but as long as you have that philosophy, you'll just make the situation worse and worse.
Well, that's right. That's right. If that happens, Brian, we do have the IPCC, the Independent Police Complaints Commission. It has done some good work. It has fallen down in some other cases. At least we no longer have the British tradition of the police investigating themselves. That clearly was untenable and no longer happens. And actually, there have been some major miscarriages of justice and some major police scandals uncovered as a result of the existence of the IPCC. But there are still, as you say, far too many people dying in police custody, and somehow the prosecution of those never seems to work out in the interests of justice. So I partly agree with you, Brian. I wholly agree with you about the Ofcom situation. I hope people complain to them. I hope they're ashamed of themselves as they're watching this now, being the independent regulator of a media in the United Kingdom that says that it stands for freedom, a freedom of speech, freedom of expression everywhere in the world except here in Britain. Brian, thanks for the call. Let's talk to Ali in Bedfordshire in England about the Iran sanctions. Ali, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum, George.
Alaikum salam. Go ahead, sir.
You are doing a great job, sir.
Thank you.
My first contrast is with how the Muslim being brutalized, tortured, and Iran subject is quite detrimental. I think the whole issue with Iran is basically based on American interest only, and the bully boy strategy, tactics, the divide and conquer, the imperialistic system.
Well, it's a salami, isn't it? They're going after Muslim countries one after the other, trying to regime change them in the interests of themselves and in the image of themselves.
George, I'm going to be honest with you. if they ever attempt make any mistake, this planet will be destroyed. Iran is not like Iraq, Bahrain, Syria. You got Lebanon, you know, like Palestine, people being oppressed and abhorrent treatment sustained. Muslim, wherever they are, they've been sustained. They're unable to express their voice. They've been left under the dictatorship and tyranny rules. And these rulers should be brought to the justice.
Well, indeed, Ali, hopefully in this world and certainly in the next life. Ali in Bedfordshire, thanks very much for that. I wholly agree with the point that you make. I just add this. I'm actually increasingly convinced that there will be no attack on Iran, because I'm increasingly convinced that Iran will hit back so hard that it would be the biggest disaster imaginable, indeed beyond imagination. What is more likely is war by other means, quarantine, sanction, embargo, and all the other kinds of political moves, which all add up to acts of war. And that's why Iran has said in the course of the exercises in the Persian Gulf over the last few days that any attempt to increase sanctions upon Iran, any attempt at an oil embargo on Iran, will be treated as an act of war, because it is an act of war. An embargo is an act of war according to international law. So I don't think there'll be a military strike against Iran for the reasons that you identify. But they oughtn't to think that Iran is some kind of punch bag that will go on absorbing blow after blow in terms of sanctions, embargo, and quarantine. Let's go to Sweden, talk to Aziz about Ofcom and Bahrain. Aziz, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Just Gallo, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, you know that.
And to you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll just touch, I want to talk about Ofcom, then I'll talk about Bahrain. You see, what they forget, we used to watch Press TV since its birth, and we'll definitely continue by any means necessary. We're living in the 21st century. They can never stop Press TV, you know?
No.
And the whole deal is, this is a channel that has a totally different perspective on everything. So regardless
of... Yeah, just like Fox News. Fox News has a totally different perspective. But Ofcom never goes near Fox News. Never once.
Yeah, that's very true. And that is what, regardless of what Ofcom does, Press TV has opened our eyes and our souls to see the truth in its clear colors. So regardless of what happens, we will always watch TV as long as we live and as long as Press TV is there. And I would like to touch on Bahrain. You see, you cannot kill the people and the spirit of Bahrainis by bullets or whatever. This is, it's always been in history. You don't kill a people and the spirit by bullets or by enemy. The only way is the Saudis and the supporters will leave Bahrain with disgrace. This is a fact that will come and history will tell, as we've always seen what has happened.
Aziz, yeah. Sweet by name, sweet by nature, a wonderful call. Let's try and squeeze in Abdul in Malawi on racism. Abdul, welcome.
Thank you, George. How are you, George?
Good, sir. Go ahead, quick.
Thank you. I would like to talk about racism in UK.
Yeah.
It is a surprise that racism in UK is very deep-rooted, as it has been discovered from the issue of Rowling. It has taken almost 2 decades before the couples have been taken to the table. And thanks to the brave parents who have fought it hard to have the criminals charged. And we are lucky today that the criminals have been charged.
Yeah.
As it has been as well been seen through the players again, that racism is there in UK. As you have talked about John Terry and even Suarez as well. And in some other European countries as well, if you may go to... In Spain, where...
You're right, Abdul. It's deep-rooted, and we're going to keep trying to uproot it. I'll be back, God willing, right after the news. Don't miss it. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, on Press TV. We're talking about racism in Britain and indeed throughout the European continent. And we're talking about the continued killing of democracy protesters in Bahrain by the brutal dictatorship there, backed by Saudi Arabia, Britain and the United States, the Hypocrites Alliance. Let's talk to Ali in Surrey in England about racism in this country. Ali, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, good evening, George.
Good evening, sir.
Salaam alaikum. My first racism point is about Ofcom against Press TV.
Yeah.
If it wasn't racism, this is racism, because this is not freedom of the press.
No, they're
right?
Treating us.
Because
they're treating us differently.
I have discussed it with Ofcom once.
Ali, let me tell you this. I'll let you come in again. They're treating us differently to the American-controlled Fox News, American-controlled CNN, Russian-controlled Russia Today, Chinese-controlled CCTV, and many, many other places. They're treating us in with prejudice and bias, and they're treating us in a way which a judge might well consider to be racist. Anyway, go ahead, Ali.
This is my point, because if the racism that is coming out of what is Ofcom doing, you are giving the voiceless people, especially in the Middle East, a voice to be heard, which I would love to hear all the time. Now I got to go onto the internet,
yeah.
And I'm not very savvy with the internet. And it is a shame. May we say that we live in a democracy? This is not democracy. This is absolutely 100% not democracy.
It's hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy.
100%.
We go to war abroad,
yes,
against regimes that we say,
yes,
suppress freedom of speech,
yes,
while suppressing it here,
yes,
in our own country.
Yes.
It's hypocrisy, not democracy. Ali, thanks for that great call. Remember, you can still get, once we're off the Sky platform, which we will be very soon, you can still get us on the internet at presstv.ir. You can download the Press TV app on your smartphone. You can get other satellites. You can amend the existing satellite that you have in ways which you will read about if you go to our website. Ali, thanks for that. Let's talk to Ben Bella in Oman, in the Persian Gulf, about Bahrain. Ben Bella, famous name, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mr. George.
Go ahead, sir.
I appreciate your show very much, but let me make it very quick. The GCC country was formed on the 26th of May 1981, mm-hmm, which contains certain GCC countries. Now, if we sit and then we look back at the Bahrain issue, if we say that these GCC countries, which are six, they cannot sort out the issue which is based in our neighborhood, yeah, what does a foreign countries have to come and interfere in our business? We consider this being our business and we have to sort it out. But if we don't have backbones to say, listen, let us intervene and sort out this problem, our brothers and sisters are dying down there, then nobody else will.
Yes,
I consider that we as a GCC nation, we don't have a personal opinion or expressing opinion in what we say.
Well, look, let me deal with the point that you make, Ben Bella. First of all, the GCC is in the Persian Gulf, right? But they've now allowed Morocco on the very farthest corner of the continent of Africa, and Jordan in the Levant to join the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council. Go figure. When Iraq had its previous regime, the so-called GCC wouldn't allow Iraq to be a member. Go figure. It's the American forces who are in the so-called GCC area that are the cause of the instability in the area. You say, why should we allow foreigners to interfere? You've got the Fifth Fleet in Bahrain. You've got the biggest United States military base in the whole world in your member country of Qatar. You've got United States forces in so-called Saudi Arabia. You've got United States forces in the United Arab Emirates. And you've got foreign military ships patrolling in the Persian Gulf. And you say that there are foreign countries interfering in your affairs. You're having a laugh, Ben Bella. The point is, the intervention in Bahrain is an intervention not on the side of the people of Bahrain, but on the side of the dictatorship in Bahrain. That's why it's opposed by all right-thinking people and ought to be opposed by you. Let's go to Scotland and talk to Andrew about Ofcom. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hello, George.
Nice to hear from you.
Just to express my consternation and indignation at Ofcom withdrawing the license to broadcast Press TV on the Sky platform. I'm indignant that I've just received, literally today, reference number 605-23727-3B, a TV license reminder which funds the shit conspiracy, which I seldom, if ever, watch. Why do I have to pay a TV license to watch nonsense like that
when I can't watch what I choose to watch,
Press TV? Furthermore, according to Amnesty International, 18 million people, political prisoners, languish in Laogai. So why isn't Ofcom dictating to CCTV and also pulling the plug on them as the RRT? Bloody business is more important than human life.
Well, let me respond, if I may, and apologise to anyone offended by the mild swearing in that call. I prefer to call the BBC the Bush and Blair Corporation or the Bush and Blair Chorus myself. And I do think that there are issues about the compulsory poll tax, which is the means by which the state supports the BBC and expects the BBC and usually gets it to toe the state's political line. But I cannot use this platform to campaign for people not to pay their license fee, not least because they would get sent to prison if they did. Neither do we want in any way either CCTV or Russia Today, both of which I admire greatly, to be subject to the same prejudice and harassment and ultimately severance by Ofcom that we have. I merely make the point that the basis on which they are removing us from the Sky platform applies to every single television station on the Sky platform, which is not controlled from the United Kingdom. And that is a very, very large number. So it's discrimination, which is illegal in this country, as I hope Ofcom one day find out. Now, let's go to the next call. I can't quite make out the name, but it's about racism. Go ahead, caller. What's your name?
Yeah, Meek.
Meek, very nice to hear from you. Go ahead.
Thank you, George. George, I have a few points. First of all, I don't agree with you because I hear you say that it is 1%, they are not racist, it's 99%. So if you listen carefully what's going on in the society right now, it starts for the 1%, because it's not only in UK, because especially black, when you see somebody like Terry who live with black, play with black, come with some comment about a racial issue, you understand that is a problem in the society.
Yeah, he completely denies it, and he's facing a trial coming up soon, so we can't discuss.
Everybody denied it. You are the only one who
but
can
we
spoke
can't,
in the TV.
Brother, we cannot discuss the John Terry case, is what I'm saying, because it's about to come up in court. Please go ahead.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is, what I was trying to say, you've been saying that you say that you always going to fight for the racism issue. How are you going to do that? Even if in the country, even the law is not even so hazy. If you have a racial issue and you call the police, I'm a victim. I called the police one day. The police arrived there. The first thing they asked me, why are you playing music in the car? When I'm in my own car, the door is closed. So the law is not even protected. The law is not even so heavy against the racism in the country. So how are you planning to do that?
Well, I'm planning to do it with all the breath that God gives me and the remaining life that I have, as I've done all my life. I'm doing my best. That's what I intend to do. I intend to do it here. I intend to do it on my radio shows. I intend to do it with my pen. I intend to do it with my voice. I intend to do it with my legs, walking and marching against racism, as I've always done. Now, I'm not saying that it's easy, though I am saying we've actually made a very great deal of progress in this country, and including in football, by the way, which English football has been in the forefront internationally in combating racism with its Let's Kick Out Racism campaign. And I commend Gordon Taylor, the leader of the Players' Union, the Professional Footballers' Association, for all the efforts that he has made in that regard. Now, I'm well aware we've got a long way to go. I did say myself earlier that down on the street, the attitude of individual police officers is not the same as it is at the boardroom, at least on paper. And I did say myself many times that if I see a nice car pulled over by the police late at night, as I very often do, I always silently promise myself that the driver is virtually certain to be black, and he almost always is. Let's go to the comment wall, read a couple of quick emails. This one from Aberystwyth in Wales. Elizabeth, 2012 gets off to a miserable start for UK viewers who like their channels to educate rather than to dumb them down. I refer to the imminent banishment from our screens of Press TV. In the 3 years I've watched this channel, I learned more about the real world of global politics than in 50 years of watching the BBC. Elizabeth, that is just the most fantastically succinct summary of the whole case. I hope you send a copy of it to your Member of Parliament and to Ofcom. Let's read one more email on the comment wall. We want your point of view up here, whatever it is. Devon from the UK. I think the UK is trying to close down Press TV because they know if NATO force attack Iran, Press TV will therefore show the full coverage of the war and the damage the Iran army would inflict on them. If they attack Iran, we can't allow them to blind us with propaganda from BBC News, Sky News and Al Jazeera. Well said, Devon, but for the aforementioned reasons, I don't expect any attack on Iran. It would be the biggest mistake in all history, and I really, really mean that. Let's take a call from John in London on Bahrain. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Hi, go ahead, sir.
Hello, George. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, Josh, nice to speak to you. George, my comment is about Bahrain. George, seeing how the Bahraini dictator, as they say, is behaving after setting up the kangaroo, in quotes, panel, would it not be safe to say that the whole idea of setting up the panel in the first instance was a joke that has gone bad? Because he set up that panel with the hope that they will implicate Iran so that it can come up as a story, just like the Saudi fake embassy.
The assassination that never was,
which we've never heard
any more about.
Exactly. And then they actually brought up a reputed judge or a lawyer of human rights, whom they thought would bring this story up and Iran would be implicated. Now that has turned sour, the whole thing has gone down, and he is not even implementing.
You're absolutely right, John. First of all, as I said earlier in another context, the police cannot investigate themselves, and neither can a dictatorship appoint a panel successfully to investigate itself. However, they did not get what they thought they had paid for. They did not get any implication of Iran in the events in Bahrain out of that panel. On the contrary, the panel specifically excluded any possibility of Iranian involvement in the revolution in Bahrain. And the panel did make some quite embarrassing comments and recommendations to the dictatorship, which is why we have not heard and will not hear any more about it. John, great call. Qasim in Manchester wants to talk about the same subject. Qasim, welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Go ahead, sir.
It's just I'm a Shia Muslim. Mm-hmm. And I feel so strongly about what's happening in Bahrain, in Syria, and what's happening in Iraq as we speak. It is, as she said before, it is to do with Israel, with America, with Britain. They all got the hand in this. And the reason why they won't go into the likes of Bahrain is exactly what you said. It's all to do with Saudi Arabia.
Definitely. That's exactly the point. And thank you for making it so succinctly. Let's go all the way to Iran. Talk to Amir in Iran. Amir, welcome to the show.
Yes.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello, George. How are you doing?
Yes, good. Thanks. Let's hear your views.
Thank you. Well, George, actually, I want to speak on the newest United States sanctions against Iranian Central Bank.
Yes.
Well, actually, as you know, Mr. Obama has recently signed a very slim sanction against Iran. And, well, actually, I think the first loser of these sanctions are the European and Western countries, like Italy and Greece at first. What will happen if the price of each barrel of oil increases at least 20%? As you may know, Greece is now buying oil from Iran on credit. So I think United States and allied countries will lose this gamble, and it could not be a good strategy for United States to actually impose sanctions against, actually, and especially the Iranian Central Bank. What do you think about this?
Well, I agree with you, and that's one of the reasons why I don't want these sanctions to be implemented. Not just because I don't want the Iranian people to suffer, but I don't want the people of Greece or Italy or Britain or any other European country to suffer either. And as for the economic, parlous economic situation that exists in Europe, if the Straits of Hormuz closes, through which a third of all the oil in the world flows, believe me, there'll be no economy in the European area, or for that matter, in North America. None at all. Let's talk to Michael in Newcastle about Ofcom. Michael, welcome to the show.
Oh, good evening, George. Nice to speak to you there.
And you, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'd just like to voice my opinion on the Ofcom's plans to close Press TV. You know, it's one of the reasons I bought Sky TV, just to watch that channel. You know, wow. It's the broad view across the whole of the channels. I watch all of the news channels from China, from Russia, and now it's going to be deprived, you know, Iran's point of view. You know, I just think it's unfair. It's totally unnecessary.
Especially in a country that's always telling us how much they value freedom and liberty, yeah?
Well, exactly. That's it. It's double standards yet again. You know, it's definitely come from a Conservative government, mind, rather than a Labour government. I think it would have been a bit more liberal Labour government.
It was William Hague that dictated this. That's clear. The WikiLeaks cable, the Sunday Times interview to which I referred earlier, the William Hague parade around with the person who complained against us. Not a single viewer of Press TV complained. And even the so-called victim who complained about us long after the expiry date, beyond which any complaint ought to have been entertained. And Hague paraded around with him as some kind of hero. It's the most explicitly politicized decision that Ofcom has ever made. And they'll come to regret it. And I hope that the professionals, at least, inside Ofcom, who'll be watching this show tonight, are hanging their heads in shame at the shameful act to which they have now become
complicit. Definitely. George, what are your plans for the future? Do you carry on?
Listen, we're not going off the air. You'll watch us on the internet. You'll watch us on your smartphone with the Press TV app. You'll watch us on Arabsat or Eutelsat or many other satellites. We're not going off the air. And besides, most of the people watching this in the world are not watching us on Sky, like the next caller, who's calling all the way from Switzerland about Press TV. Yes, caller, welcome to the show.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening, sir.
God bless you for all the good work you're doing. You know, I wish we had some more people like you in the world.
Thank you.
You're like an imam for us every Friday. Now, I come back. First of all, this Ofcom, why are we confronting them? Why Press TV doesn't come to Geneva and style themselves next to the United Nations? And hopefully one day this United Nations in Geneva will be active office because of all this media. And then if you're next to all these 240-something ambassadors, somehow, I mean, we may give their, bring their attention closely to the fact what's going on in Iran and what the West are doing to Iran because of their... you know, they're risking their future, and they don't know what to do. And then, you know, Ofcom is like, excuse me the terms and my poor English, their earring is becoming bigger. And then if a donkey one day beats me with a leg, I'm not going to go after him. I just go stay away from him. That's what I believe. Maybe we should come to Geneva.
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, the reality is we are still discussing our next moves. And forgive me if I don't dilate upon them at the moment, as Ofcom is watching. But watch this space. But be sure about one thing. We are not going off the air. Press TV will not be silenced by these poodles of little Willie Hague, about whom more, much, much more in the weeks to come. Let's go to Germany, talk to Julius about Iran. Julius, welcome to the show.
Hello, George. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Welcome.
I want to say I thank you very much for the good job you're doing, and may God continue to pour his favor on you for this your wonderful job.
Thank you, sir.
But through your mouth, we get the voice of the oppressed people. Through your mouth, we get the voice of the weak people. Through your mouth, we get the voice of those that are being pushed at the side, that they don't have a say to what is going on in this whole world. There's what I want to say is there's something I don't understand about the position of Turkey. Today I had the foreign minister of Turkey meeting with the foreign minister of Iran, saying that he's standing with Iran, and if any country or whatsoever would try to take a stand on Iran, then he will not allow any country.
That's right, Julius. I wish we had more time to talk, but we don't. But I think that the statement of the Turkish foreign minister was an important one, and we should welcome it. It doesn't entirely square with all of Turkey's recent foreign policy positions, but let's be grateful for it. It was a clear statement by a very experienced statesman, and I hope that Turkey's friends in Western countries and in NATO listen carefully to it. God willing, I'll be back next week at the same time in the same place. Until then, go in peace.
And just make sure that your television volume is set up to 0.
Zero. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. And actually, you need to put through this phone number, and then we'll be back.
Can I have your telephone number?
Okay.
So I'll bring the
call
back to you. Call you back. Can you make sure your television volume is set down to 0?